chapter 8, number 8, new beginnings. Romans chapter 8 is the full mention of the Spirit of God. It tells you all the things you got because of Jesus. You got a lot of things because of Jesus. Things that you never earned, things that no one can ever take away. Romans chapter 8 tells you about the indwelling of the Spirit. Romans chapter 8 tells you about the power of the Spirit. Romans chapter 8 tells you about the witness of the Spirit. Romans chapter 8 tells you about the Spirit of God praying for you. Amen. In accordance to God's will, not your will. Amen. And then in that verse, Romans 8:28 is that verse that I'm sure you've heard many, many times before. In that chapter that speaks about the full mention of the Spirit of God. And if you're not born again, you don't got that Spirit. Amen. That Spirit's foreign to you. Hopefully you will be someday. Hopefully you will open that door. The Bible says right here in Romans 8:28, what an important verse. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good. Amen. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." I'm not going to preach on that, but you should underline the we, the them. You are the we, the them. You are the called. If you've responded to the gospel, that good news, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Yes, I want to believe. Yes, I trust in that message. That message that so many people have heard before and yet are numb to. You got to make it personal. You got to make it personal. And when you get on that Jesus train, if you will, and the Lord knows ahead of time because he's got foreknowledge. He knows if you're going to accept him. Long before the beginning of this all, he had a purpose in mind. He had a purpose in mind. He knows for those who are getting on that train, over the course of their lifetime, are going to get sanctified, going to be conformed to the image of his precious son. That's the purpose. That's the purpose. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. We are so nearsighted. Oh, I don't know how this is going to work out. If God really loved him, you think he would have held back that motorcycle, would have held them up? You think? God really loved him. See, the atheists have such a narrow view, such a small-minded view. If I were God, yeah, tell me about if you were God. What kind of world would it be? A world where there are no accidents, where every decision is a correct decision? That would be a world of robots without free will. So damn those Calvinists who think we have no free will. And I use the word damn. All right, moving right along. Today, what I want to talk about is not that. I want to talk about today something from the book of Philippians. How many people love the book of Philippians? Amen? Amen. Book of Philippians. I know, you love every book. I know. I'm already dry mouthed here. What's going on? I feel like I got cotton in my mouth. I've been teaching high school chemistry for 32 years. Does anybody have a little bottle of water for me? I never would get dry mouth, but when I'm over here opening God's word, it's always like, I got the cotton in my mouth. It's good to be nervous when you're handling God's word, because this ain't a performance. It's good to be nervous. God holds his word above his name. Bibles. Does anybody need a Bible? Of course you need a Bible. Without it, how do you know if what I'm saying is for real? Right? We're not talking some kind of watchtower thing. They knock on your door and they tell you, would you like to read one of these? Read it for yourself. God gave us his word in English, most precise language on earth. Nothing more precise than English. We are so blessed, and with that, so accountable to God. All right, so if you have your Bible there, we're going to be talking today from the book of Philippians, excuse me. What's with these small bottles, by the way? What is this, like eco-friendly or something? What's up with this? I need a hose over here, guys. Just kidding. All right, Philippians chapter 4, we're going to be talking about the peace of God. Ooh, peace. Don't you want peace? Oh, my Lord, this world is out of control. I'm not going to go through the news events. You know it. We all sense it. Don't you want peace? You're not going to be able to bring peace to this world. You're not going to be bringing on the kingdom until Jesus sits on that throne. But don't you want peace within? Huh? Huh? I'm not talking about hiding your hand in the sand. No, no, no. But I'm saying, don't you want at least be informed of what's going on, because we're getting closer and closer to that day. But in spite of that, you still got that peace and knowing my Lord's in control. He saved me. I'm part of his hand, not just in his hand that he'll drop it. He saved me. Man, when you ask people, well, so how long you been saved? And they say, what does that mean, saved? There's a problem. There's a problem. Saved from the wrath of God to come on a world that's turned its back on the obvious. God exists. On the obvious. They all know about Jesus. And so do you. And so do you. If you're sitting there saying, prove it to me. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. All right, Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 to 9. Let's read first. Can you tell I get a little excited here? I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. They warned you that I was coming, no? They warned you. This is on one cup of coffee. Ay, ay, ay. Philippians chapter 1. Calm down, Ed. I can hear my wife saying right now, easy, easy, easy. Don't scare them. They know you're crazy, but don't scare them. Therefore, my brethren, verse 1, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech you, Euodias, got to practice that one, and beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with the other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord alway, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. I got to underline that one for me, for Ed Keeley. The Lord is at hand, coming soon. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, don't you want peace? Until you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have no peace. I know it. You have no peace. You got an emptiness inside. You're yearning for something to fill it. You go outside to the world and you're still not satisfied. Where was I? And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Turn off your phone. Take off those earbuds. Think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. See, Paul was no hypocrite. Do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father God, just please calm me down, Lord. I tend to be a machine gun mouth, Lord. Calm me down, Lord. Tend to be too loud, Lord. Calm me down, Lord. Thank you for your precious words, Lord. Where would we be without your words, Lord? Where would I be, Lord? Lost, blind, without hope, without Jesus. Father, if there be a doubt in the crowd today, Lord, Father God, please hide me behind the cross. Cause them to see Jesus, Lord. Jesus above all things, because he's so beautiful. He is so lovely. Open their eyes, dear God. May they surrender today and receive you, your precious son, his gift to us. In his name we pray. All right, go back to 4:1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, Eli, Baruch Hashem, Habibi. I come from Bensonhurst, and when we cross the border, there's Borough Park. I used to hang out with the Jews all the time, man. The cool Jews like you, bro. Yo! They used to wear the yarmulke on the side. Yo! What's up? Kile! Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Notice how Paul addresses the Philippians. He's addressing us at the same time, right? This isn't just civility or diplomacy, right? He's not just laying it on. He means it, right? And it's genuine. It's so kind. It's tender. Things foreign to Brooklynites, all right? We can all use some of that, no? You'll use more of that. Unfortunately, you grow up in the city. I don't know how you Jersey people are. You're kind of hard. You got this shell about you in defense. And it crosses over into the way you speak to others. I got to let go of that stuff. I got to let go of that macho stuff. It doesn't make me less of a man to express love. You know? When I send my brother's text now, I say, yo, bro. No, no, no more. My dear brother. Amen. My dear brother. Amen. We're a minority, folks. We're a minority. We need each other. My dear brother. My dear sister. Those are the words we should speak. Ah, that doesn't come natural to me. I know, that's the problem. We need a supernatural transformation. Duh. There I go again, sorry. All right? The Philippians were part of the family of God. Aren't you glad you're a part of the family of God? This is the family of God. It's a family without walls. Okay? It's a family where the building doesn't matter. It's a family in which God has put his Holy Spirit in, and hence we become children of God. We're all united. I don't care where I go. I just came from Paraguay. I haven't seen these brothers in 13 years. Hermano, gloria a Dios. Man, hadn't seen this brother in 13 years. Brother Jimenez. And he was like, it's like I just saw him yesterday. Come on, let's praise God together, brother. Amen. It's so good to be forgiven. Praise the Lord. How's he working in your life, brother? What's going on, brother? The family. Yahakatu para Cristo. Who said that? That maniac and Dino. Amen. Brother Kevin went with me too. Yeah, yeah. We had a good time. No matter where you go, no matter where you go, in the Philippines, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter the culture. Doesn't matter personalities. You just let the Spirit of God rule in his word. Come on. Praise the Lord. We're forgiven. I don't know about some of you. When that song, when you were singing that song and he emphasized forgiven of all our sins. I don't know. Maybe some of you were altar boys or something. Not me. I'm probably older than most of you here. The more I live, the more I sin. I'm forgiven. Don't worry, you youngins, you'll catch up. You'll catch up, don't worry. You begin to realize what it is to be forgiven. Amen. Forgiven. Amen. Man, man, praise the Lord. So the Philippians were Paul's joy and crown. Then, when he wrote to them, and they'll be his joy and crown later. Amen. At the judgment seat of Christ. You don't have to turn there, but you could write this song because I have a lot of scriptures. 1 Thessalonians 2:19 to 20. Stay in Philippians. I'll tell you when to turn to verses. 1 Thessalonians 2:19 to 20. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Paul speaking to the Thessalonians. Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Wow. Wow. Paul understood what it is to be a discipler. Paul understood what it is to see them grow in the faith. Wow. Praise the Lord. See, my brother here from Sunday school, I see so many of you. I'm old. All right? Growing up. I said, wow, growing up in the faith. Man, I remember Josh, the amount of energy he had. He's still got that energy. He's a jumping bean. Now he's channeling that energy for the Lord. Right, my brother? Hey, man, remember Josh, what a joy. Paul tells them to stand fast. In other words, don't give up. Don't give up. Like some of the brethren he refers to in chapter 3. Look at who he's talking about in chapter 3. Philippians 3:18. We're going to be in Philippians. He speaks about these brethren in chapter 3. Philippians 3:18. Look what he says. For many, in parentheses, walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. Wow, wow. Whose God is their belly. He's not talking about Buddha here, okay? He's talking about a life focused on pleasure. Life has all kinds of pleasures, no doubt. All right? Think about it. God wants us to enjoy everything around us. Even food, for example. Good topic, food. Right? If he wanted to, God could have made it so we all eat the same dog food day in and day out. Right? I know now people buy different kinds of foods for their dogs. It's a crazy world. Anyway, but God made all these flavors and gave us senses to appreciate all these colors. There's so much pleasure out there. But being a carnal Christian means you're parked on that. That's all you're about. Pleasure, 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 to which there's no end. No, 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 no. He wants you, he's exhorting them to live to please God because there's no greater pleasure than that. Amen. When you feel like you're being used of God in some little way, and maybe it's presumptuous of me to say it at times, like when you get a little popcorn witness for the Lord, see a little response like that, that affected that person in a positive way towards Jesus Christ. Amen. There's no greater pleasure than that, guys. Amen. Man, man, man. And look how he describes these brethren. I believe they were brethren. They had been so slided, however you say it, that they became enemies of the cross. Wow, wow. It makes you wonder if they were, you know, saved to begin with, you know. But Paul doesn't mention whether they were saved or not. I'm going to assume the best. Hey, listen, it is possible to be saved and not a Christian. Amen? It's possible to be saved. You got your ticket. You're going to heaven for sure. You're going to be there. Heaven's a gift and not a Christian. Amen. Meaning unwilling to take up your cross and suffer for him. And that suffering begins with in the flesh, saying no to your selfish desires. That flesh that we're born with. That's suffering. That's suffering. And so on and so on. I don't know about you, but I know about me. The less I read, less I want to read. The less I come to church, less I want to come to church. And the opposite's true too. Got to stay in the Word. Got to stay in fellowship. We need each other. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Wow. I was speaking to my brother in Christ who led me to the Lord many, many moons ago when I was 18. Who was, for 40 years of his life, became an atheist. Wow. He gave me some good text this morning, though. He had all the answers, you know? He was talking about how something can come from nothing. He was talking about the quantum fluctuations. Talking about all this stuff. He had an answer for everything until the Lord gave him some kidney stones that the doctors couldn't take care of. That brought him to his knees. And thank God he wasn't so proud to say, oh, I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I'm not going to ask God for help. Oh, stop it. Stop it. Ask God for help because his mercy endures forever. Ask him for help. Maybe you're on your knees for that reason. Think about it. Suffering wakes us up. Wakes us up that we are mortal beings. We will not live forever on earth. Wakes us up that this body's decaying. Subject to disease and sin. Man, I tell you what, and to this day, because he gave me a text today, he says, man, the Lord's hand was in it. I thank him for his mercy. 40 years. He's got two daughters and he didn't say a word to them about Jesus. Now he's in regret. I said, that's okay, brother. I mean, it's not good, but that's okay, brother. Don't focus on the past, because it's past. Pray for today. Pray for tomorrow. Pray the Lord uses you. I know you're going to sound like a nut to them now. Daddy, all these years, now you're telling us about Jesus? You told us we came from nothing. Now that's something?
Amen.
Yeah, he's got a hard road. Pray for him, Rob Krause. Pray for him. Pray for him. He's part of a church in Florida, praise the Lord. I know he could take that humidity, but that's another story. All right? So, listen. If you're going through something, here's a little verse you could write down real quickly. Don't go there. Don't go there. 2 Chronicles 16, 12 to 13. Speaking about King Asa. I love this verse. 2 Chronicles 16, 12 to 13. It says, and Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. Probably had diabetes. Yet, in his disease, he sought not the Lord, but to physicians. And then, unfortunately, verse 13, and Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 140th year of his reign. The implication is, to me, that God would have healed him. Now, and I'm not saying every time you pray, God's going to heal you that disease. But I'm just saying the implication is how foolish, Asa, not to put God in the equation. If you're going through something medically, keep God in the equation. Father God, I have this disease. Father God, you've allowed it to be. Father God, please guide me to the right physician. If it be thy will, heal me. I know you hold every atom in my body together. But if it be thy will, heal me. But if not, may thy will be done. That's a hard one. That's the hard one. That's the hard one that first Adam had a problem with. Thy will be done. Third Adam, though, he got it. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. He's got a purpose for our lives. Amen, 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 amen. So Philippians 3:20, we're back there. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, capital S, Philippians 3:20, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one Savior, folks. The Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. Biblically, your conversation obviously isn't limited to just what you say. Your conversation is all about your lifestyle, biblically. All right, you look up that word. And your lifestyle is a product of what's important to you. Right? I don't know if I got time for that. You make time for what's important to you. That's all it is, plain and simple. What's important to you? What do you put your effort and time into? Think about it. Colossians 3:1, you don't have to go there. Colossians 3:1, wait, maybe you should go there. Colossians 3, keep your finger in Philippians, though. Go eat popcorn. Galatians, Ephesians, right? You know how to get there. Philippians, go eat popcorn. Go to Colossians, check out Colossians 3:1. What's important to you? What do you live for? Colossians 3:1, if ye then be risen with Christ... Are you risen with Christ?
Amen.
Paul said he was crucified with Christ, buried with Christ, risen with Christ. Paul, you weren't even there. How's that possible? In a dream? No, because of an operation of God. God's able to do that. Put you on that cross so that the sin bearer bears your sins. So that the sin bearer, Jesus Christ, goes into hell for you and me. So that the sin bearer, contrary to all, is risen on the third day. If ye be risen with Christ, are you risen with Christ? You would know it. You would know it. You would know it. For what he says, if ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth.
Amen.
To seek and to set takes conscious effort. Doesn't happen automatically.
Amen.
Why should we do this? Verse 3, for ye are dead. And your life is hid in Christ. From being in Adam, now your life is hid in Christ. Think about that. What a beautiful truth. You need to know and reckon that old man, that nature you and I were born with, is buried in a shallow grave. In a shallow grave, no doubt. He can come up and bite you if you don't stay vigil.
The fool says, you know, when he hears this, the fool says, come on, why don't you just be real? Be true to yourself. What's with all this put on, put on, put on? And I say, what are you putting on? What are you living in the image of? Your favorite rock star? Your favorite movie star? Come on, politician? What are you putting on? No, I'm putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. By his power, by his Holy Spirit within me, day by day, day by day, day by day, there's no greater pleasure than pleasing him. Colossians 3:4, when Christ, who is our life, Christ is our life. It's all about Jesus, folks. Every bit of it should appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Woo! Jesus said unto Mary, Jesus said unto her, to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. I'm your life. Believest thou this? 1 John 3:1, you just don't have to go there. It says, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, me and you, that we, you don't know me like I know me, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Are you so surprised when you give a person a track and they're like, nah, I'm good, thank you. Well, weird loser. Amen. They hated Jesus. They're not going to hate you for giving them the truth. They can't handle the truth. They're living in delusion. They actually think reality is what's happening in the space between their two ears. That's not reality, folks. Reality is, thus saith the Lord. Reality is, thus saith the Lord. Amen. All right. I've been called a lot of things. Son of God? I take that as an honor. Amen. I accept that with an honor. I'm humbled too by it. You're calling me a son, Lord? Me? When do we become sons of God? When? The Bible says very clearly, beloved, there are those words. Now are we the sons of God. Amen. Now! And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know, there's that no. That when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Amen. Right? In John 17, they got a peek at his glory in the transfiguration. When he returns, when we see him in the sky, we're going to see him as he is. Amen. The Lord of glory, Jesus Christ. Do you know this? Do you know this? There's a lot of things to know in the Bible. People say, well, you can never know. Yeah, no, you can know. Because God gave us a book to know, and you can ask him for knowledge. Don't make this so complicated. All right? Do you know this? Do you know this? In 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, the word know appears 30 times. I counted them. Amen. In the book of John, believe, or one form of believe, all right, different forms of believe, faith, whatever, appears 100 times. 100 times. Believe, 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 believe. The goal is know, trust, believe, and then know him. Amen. Get to know him. Amen. Personally. Amen. Personally. Open that book every day and the Spirit of God testifies. That's you, my child. I did that for you. That's you. And you fall in love with him again and again and again. Being born again is falling in love with Jesus Christ. Amen. Not Christianity, although biblical Christianity is the guide, the Bible, but falling in love. Does that sound, that sounds weird to the world. You're in love with Jesus? Please. What is that? Come on. Right? Religion? No, relationship. Pure religion. Religion, again, legati, connect. Not by your own efforts, but through the efforts of Jesus Christ. That's how we get the connection. It's all because of him. It's all because of him. Praise you, Lord. All right, go back. Go back to Philippians 3:21. If you're still there, you're still there, right? Speaking of Jesus, who shall change, Philippians 3:21, our vile body. How about that? Amen. Who shall change, Jesus Christ, our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. according to the working whereby he is able, not you, not me, even to subdue all things unto himself. Our vile body. That's kind of insulting. Right? If you're spending time in the gym, working out, you know what I'm saying? That's kind of insulting. But don't get insulted. Don't get insulted. All right? Because the body that God's going to give you cannot compare to the body you have now. A glorious body. Shining like the sun. Glorious body. Think about that. Wow. The glory that Adam and Eve lost. Right? Genesis chapter 2, they were naked and not ashamed. Genesis chapter 3, whoa, what happened? We're naked. Naked of God's glory. Naked of God's glory. He's going to restore that glory. At the judgment seat of Christ, he'll determine to what degree you'll be glorified. All stars don't shine the same. All right? How's he going to do that? By his power. The power that brought this world, the universe to being, the power that rose Jesus from the grave, the power that got you saved, by his power. By his power. You could write this down because I see time is fleeting. Ephesians 1, 18 to 23, if you're taking notes, you should take notes. It's good to take notes. You say, but I never read them. But it makes you pay attention. I know, you never read them. It makes you pay attention. Ephesians 1, 18 to 23. Ask my wife. She's taking notes all the time. I say, you ever read them? No. But it makes me pay attention. Me too. All right? Got to focus on the prize. Got to stand fast. All right? People always say, you know, come on, bro. Do you really believe that? That Jesus is coming back? Amen. You hear a trumpet sound? Amen. Really believe that? Yes, I do. I do. Do you really believe Genesis 1:1? The universe? Do you? Start there. If you're having problems with Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, then you're going to have a problem with the rest.
That's right.
But if you got enough sense to give God the benefit of your doubt, and there should be very little doubt, the existence of God is obvious. If you got enough sense to give God the benefit of your doubt, then he'll be pleased. And as you get his word, Jesus said his word is spirit in you, and believe and trust in it. It empowers you. It empowers you. Amen. Thank you, Lord. There's nothing better. There's nothing better than the word of God. Amen. And listen, maybe one of you here, or two of you, I doubt, have something better. Let me know, please. If you found something better than Jesus Christ, let me know. We'll talk about it later. Maybe one of these science guys. I believe in science. So do I. True science points to God. But if you're one of those guys, let me know. Let me know. Don't keep it to yourself. Don't just sit there, no penance. Please. God, please. Let me know. Teach me. I'm totally open to you. Don't be like, you know, if you got something good to share, then share with someone else. If I had the cure to cancer, shouldn't I share it with someone else? Don't be like many Christians that are undercover Christians. Here come the tomatoes. Come to work. You've been here on Sunday. Go to work on Monday. Don't say a word about Jesus to anybody. Don't say a word about Jesus. You know what it is? I'm shy. You know what? I think you're too full of yourself. I think you care too much about what other people think.
Amen.
Sorry. No, I'm not. I lied. Amen. Oh, you know what? I don't want to offend them. Offend, you mean biblically? Because biblically, to offend means to cause to stumble. Jesus asked his disciples, does this offend thee? To cause to stumble. You're not causing them to stumble by telling them the gospel. You do the actual opposite. You're keeping them from stumbling on the lies of the devil that's sending them to hell.
Amen.
I don't want to offend, meaning I don't want to hurt their feelings. Wonder what their feelings are going to be in hell. Here come the tomatoes. Hell's not virtual, guys. I know you young people playing virtual games all the time.
thinking everything's virtual, even coming up with, maybe this is hell. You want to slap somebody like that. This is hell, huh? You have no idea. I'll give you hell in one word that's repeated again and again and again in Luke 16. Torment, torment, torment three times. So much torment that rich man had in hell, separated from Lazarus, that he said, Abraham, could you ask Lazarus to touch the tip of his finger to water to cool my tongue? Hell's real. Hell's real. So real that Jesus Christ came here and suffered in your place and went to your house and you don't have to go there. Hell's real, folks. It's not virtual. Too much hippie gospel out there. Hippie gospel. It's all about peace. It's all about becoming one. It's not all about peace. It's about, number one, avoiding hell. Amen. It's avoiding hell, which is a real place. Real place. Jesus spoke more about hell than he did about heaven. Look it up. Look it up. Look it up. Forget about hurting their feelings. Forget about hurting their feelings. These squirrels are so caught up on feelings. Feelings. Well, I feel this and I feel that. So what? Reality. Reality. But what is real? Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. This is how I view. This is how I perceive what's around me. Thus saith the Lord. You got something better? Please show me later. Please show me later. So thinking about these two guys in Philippians 4:2, speaking about Euodius. Euodius, what a name. Beautiful. I beseech Euodius, Philippians 4:2, and beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. To beseech is to ask, pray urgently. Apparently, these two guys got off the train, all right? Apparently, their Christianity, hit by the world, being under persecution. Maybe they were thinking Christianity is all about, you know, sunshine and lollipops and all good time. No, 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 no. So apparently, you know, it hit them hard, and they gave up. They gave up. You know, you don't hear about these guys anymore in the book. You know, I guess they weren't living their best life. You know, their best life. No, no, no. Christianity's hard. You know, before you get saved, the devil's got you. You're good. You're just full of what the world has, all the lies of the world. Once you get saved, he puts a target on your back. Oh, this person's going to tell that person, and that's going to make a difference, and that's going to bring glory to Jesus. I don't want that. Right? Not easy. Not easy being a Christian. But thank God we have his power within. Amen. Thank God we have his power within. Amen. All right? Philippians 1:27 is an interesting verse. You're still in Philippians, right? Because there's no mention of Euodius after this. Euodius, forgive me, in Syntyche. Philippians 1, to only let your conversation, again, more than what you say, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your effort, affairs, that ye stand fast, there it is again, in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition. It's proof. It's proof that, you know, they're caught up in sin. To you of salvation, it's proof that you're doing the right thing. And that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, here it is, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer. Suffer for his sake. All right? Having the same conflicts which he saw in me and now here to be in me. Look at the life of the Apostle Paul. How many times beaten? How many times left for dead? To suffer. Persecuted for the name of Jesus. I feel persecuted when I get somebody a track and they go, huh, I'm good. Or they look at me weird as they pass by. I'm on a street corner with a sign. They're looking at me like, did you see that freak?
Amen, amen.
Yeah. The word of God is so powerful. They notice it. They got to beep their horn. They got to do something. Because it sears, it penetrates,
Word of God is so powerful. Amen. There's no mention, like I said, of Euodias and Syntyche in any book after this. I hope they were Christians. It's going to be payday someday, good or bad, at the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ is where Christians are going to be, by the way. It is, salvation is a gift based on faith. Faithfulness, what you do with this treasure in your earthen vessel. Only God can decide. Only God can judge and reward you accordingly. Interesting, someone preached to me, you know, about, that's a side note. Let me not get into the side. Too many rabbit holes. Sorry. Philippians 4:3. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Philippians 4:3. They were true yoke fellow. That means they must be false. Brethren, we need to work side by side with that yoke that God gave us, right? That yoke of love for God, that yoke of love for each other. And God, in turn, gives us love for people who reject it, people who make fun of us because they don't know better, you know? Spreading the gospel takes work, guys. It takes work, all right? The problem is I spent so many years as a Catholic, 18 years as a Catholic, that I'm still stuck on this clergy-laity thing. Maybe you too. You know, the clergy, the holy men, they're the ones who know the secrets. They're the ones who know the book. They're the ones who teach. The laity, that's just us. We just come here once a week. No, we're all part of this. We're all ministers. And wherever you are, it doesn't have to be just on a street corner with a sign. I got that. Wherever you are, right, in word, in action, shine for Christ. Begin your day with, Lord, cause me to be a blessing some way today to someone that you might get the glory. Amen. He'll answer that prayer. Amen. Bet you some of you are afraid to say that prayer. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Now we're cooking. Rejoice in the Lord always. Doesn't say always. And again, I say rejoice. To rejoice is to experience joy and gladness real deep inside. All right? It's high degree. It's like super joy, if you will. All right? And it doesn't mean super loud, Ed Keeley. Okay? All right? And he says, and again I say rejoice. Why would he repeat himself? Because we tend to, over time, take all this for granted. Christianity becomes churchianity. We tend to just go through the motion. Oh, okay. It happens. So we got to keep ourselves in the Word. We got to keep realizing what Jesus has done for us. Otherwise, that joy is going to get extinguished. Joy. Joy is much deeper than happiness. Joy is always connected to the cross. The deep joy. All right? Thanking God for what He did for us. Amen. Becoming a man. Forgiving me. Make it personal. My joy is connected to that. That can't be taken away. Happy, you know. Dentist tells me, we're going to have to do some deep root canal. Oh, I'm so happy about that. No, I don't think so. Right? But joy. Well, the Lord's got this. I'm good. All right? And by the way, Doc, do you know Jesus saves? Use that opportunity. You know the difference between coincidence and providence? Coincidence is you flip a quarter, heads or tails. Providence is when God's in the equation, right? So your car breaks down. You go to a flat place. Coincidence. I happen to run across some nails. Let's make it providence. Hey, do you know about the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. Suddenly, my car breaking down has eternal purpose. Now, you might say, well, the eternal purpose is you learn how to fix, you know, keep on top of your car, brother. Yeah, that too. But the eternal purpose is, hey, why am I here in time? Why are these people here? I know you will, Lord. You're not willing that any should perish. Amen. Lead me to that person, Lord. Somebody, Lord. Right. Somebody, Lord. Amen. Make me a fisher of men today, Lord. Amen. Right? Come on. That's why we're here. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Now you might say, the Lord was at hand
2,000 years ago? Where is he? Did he forget?
No, that's the attitude we should have. The Lord is at hand. I know when we speak about the Lord returning, a lot of young people are like, well, you're old and you're retired and you lived this whole life. And I'm just beginning to live life. I'm beginning to meet people. I want to get married. I want to have kids. I want to have... Praise the Lord. Live your life as if he's coming tomorrow. Amen. By knowing you're in Christ today, right? And plan your life as if he's coming 10, 20, 25 years from now. I don't know. Right? At the rate this is going, you know, I don't know. I don't know. We'll leave it up to God. He's in control. Amen. Moderation has to do with avoiding extremes. All right? Not overeating. Getting humbled by this one. Not overdrinking or doing anything else. You know, not just letting your flesh go, not restraining your flesh, right? By the power that's within you to mortify that flesh. Romans chapter 8. All right? It's all about excess. And that's what the world is all about. Excess, excess, excess. There's never enough for the world. You can never top the world because they're trying to fill that hole with more and more and more, which it can never satisfy. You understand that? And this verse here, just write it down from Peter, 1 Peter 4, 3 to 4, talking about the world. 1 Peter 4, 3 to 4. You just write it down. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. You know, Jew and Gentiles, Gentiles living for the world, not knowing God. When we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, it's always excess for the world, revelings, banquetings, abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange. They think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. What happened to Eli? He was such a party goer. What happened to him? We used to have so much fun. Oh, he's so boring. What's with the moderation, Eli? Please. Come on. What do you mean? Enough? Come on. Join us. Oh, Eli, you're so boring. Such a loser. Please leave us alone. Right? That's how it works. That's how it works. Why should we moderate? Why should we be moderate? Because the Lord is at hand. Your behavior matters. Your behavior matters. My behavior matters. I'm convicted even as I say this to you right now. Verse 6 in Philippians 4, 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. He's not saying be careless. Just don't be careful, full of care. Man, all right? Instead, he says pray. Pray. Don't get so worried, so stressed to think it's all on you. Pray, pray. Get God in the equation. Talk to God. Ask him. Include him in your life. Man. And let your requests, not begging, your requests be made known unto God. Wow, what a way to speak. And this is the verse really that I wanted to get to, Philippians 4, 7. And you're saying, your time's almost up, buddy. All right? Philippians 4, 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is the verse. Wow. Heart has to do with emotions. And emotion number one today is fear. Obviously. Obviously, emotion number one is fear today. And if Satan would have his way, man, you'd be in a car, you know, doubly masked, face shield, gloves on, nobody in the car. The irony of that is, yes, yes, there's some good to that. But have you considered that if you were to die, that it's not all in your control, that every heartbeat is under his control? Have you considered if you were to die today, where you would go? What a delusion to think it's all under your control. Man, you've heard this one from me before, and I'll say it again. How many heartbeats a day? Google that. 100,000. Google must be right. 100,000. Right? 100,000 heartbeats? Wow, isn't evolution a wonderful thing? Wow. 100,000, think about that. 100,000. Right? Depending on the number of seconds there are in a day, around 84,000, whatever. It's about one, a little more than one a second, a heartbeat. Can you control that heartbeat? I don't know, some of you are saying, oh no, yes, I exercise every day. I've lowered my heartbeat. I'm in control. That's not what I'm talking about. If your heart were to stop right now, where would you be? Dead. Dead. Well, there might be a physician nearby with paddles. Stop. Stop. If your heart were to stop right now, you'd be dead, wouldn't you? How many people die across the world in a day? Right? All right? How about in a second? Right? In a second. Well, I Google that too. Maybe some of you are Googling that while you're at it, all right? Per second, right? 1.8. Let's make it 2. I don't know what 0.8 of a person is, all right? All right? So think about this. In this second that you're alive, what is the only thing you are totally in control of? Your will. We're not puppets. We're not robots. God gave you free will. In this second, you could will to accept this message or just poo-poo it. In this second, you could will to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and rest in Him, His salvation, or reject it, even though you hear the knock on your heart. In this second, your will, so powerful. It's the only thing God gives you. I am willing to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ in this second and rest on Him like you're resting on those chairs. Because in the next second, I could be one of the two. You trying to scare me? Trying to scare the hell out of me? I wish I could. I wish I could. I wish I could. God is a gentleman. He stands at the door. He knocks. He knocks so gently. Knocks so gently. But you hear Him. Those times when you're like stressed out and worried. And you're like, what's the meaning of this? Why am I going through this? What's the purpose of it all? A lot of people going through that these days. A lot of people going through that. Affected by the outside. The devil's having a great time. Fear, 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 fear. Making people think that they're actually in control. You're in control of one thing right now, folks. Your will. And God made it so easy. So easy that it offends you. It offends you, some of you. I can't be that easy. I gotta work my way. I gotta show God that I'm good. And I'm good. You'll never be good enough. Never, never, never be good enough. If you think you could be good enough, then you have placed or put a price on the blood of Jesus. It's priceless. The blood of Jesus is the blood of God. It's priceless. Aren't you willing to believe in Him? Won't you be willing to believe in Him? I can't see the time here. Am I over time? Okay, what did I have to... I'm done, right? I'm done, right? I'm sorry. Because I see the rest of you going. I got a lot more to say, but let me end it with this. It talks here about the peace of God and the God of peace. Right? Amen. You won't have the peace of God until you've surrendered to the God of peace. That's the message here. There's more here that I want to give you. Maybe some other day, if you ever invite me back, I don't know. But the God of peace, the one who reconciled them, reconciled us to Himself. Wow, so good. Do you know Him? Let's pray. Let's bow our heads. Father God.